Welcome to Let's Talk Death, conversations to inform and inspire. Let's Talk Death is being brought to you by Heal Grief, a nonprofit providing the tools and resources to support one's journey with grief. We seek to empower individuals to achieve a healthy post-bereavement growth. Everything we do is inspired by our core belief that no one should ever grieve alone. Let's Talk Death is a series of conversations with some amazing people from various fields. Our goal through these conversations is to normalize, educate, and demystify the taboo around death, dying, and the journey of grief. Hello, welcome to this episode of Let's Talk Death. I'm Fran Solomon.
And I'm Andy McNeil.
And we are thrilled to be your host for these conversations.
Our guest today is Clarissa Thibault. Clarissa had dreams of becoming an entertainer from a young age. She studied theater arts with an emphasis in performance at San Diego University. Upon obtaining her degree, she had a slew of short films and regional commercials already under her belt. Born and raised in Northern California, Clarissa's father died from cirrhosis of the liver and kidney failure when she was 11 years old. And she became an orphan at age 12 when her mother lost her two-year battle to cancer. Now living in Los Angeles, Clarissa is fulfilling her dream as an actress. When she isn't on set, she enjoys spending time with her dog, Elfia, watching movies, hiking, and learning to knit. Clarissa also finds time to help others. With a fellow orphan friend, she started a podcast called Abandonment Issues and finds time to be involved in the Cancer Support Community, LA. Clarissa, we are delighted to have you as a guest on our show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
So Clarissa, let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. Can you take our audience back to that 12-year-old little girl and your journey as an orphan?
Absolutely. It was actually a really turbulent time even before I turned 12. Strangely enough, I guess, it was kind of like a domino effect in my family during those years. My grandmother died, and then my dad died, and then one of my uncles, my dad's twin died, and then my mother died, and then my other uncle died, and it was kind of just like a snowball effect. But at 12, I don't know, both deaths were very different for me. My father was quite sudden. I didn't know he was sick. So, you know, just coming home one day and he was gone. It felt like it was that immediate. However, with my mother, I slowly kind of watched the cancer take over, and it was a much longer process. So by the time I was 12, I mean, I had been to too many funerals. but I don't know. I think I just had a lot of times to come to terms with it while it was going on, as strange as that sounds. And my mother really helped prepare me for what was to come. And in the time after that, so after she passed, I just threw myself into school. I became obsessed with school and extracurriculars. And I think that's something that wasn't taught to me necessarily. I think that's just kind of who I am when I'm in like a panic mode. I end up just throwing myself into work. So the year my mother passed, I know I had one of the lowest GPAs I had had. I think I was a pretty good student, but I think I had like a 3.0 GPA, and I was appalled. And I was like, how could this happen now that I'm an adult? I'm like, oh yeah, your mom died and your dad had just died. Of course you're going to have a lower GPA. But then the next year at school, I had 4.0 every single semester and was, you know, made honor roll and super honor roll or whatever they had at the middle school I was going to. Got really into track and field and into theater. And I just became like obsessed with being involved with things, I'm sure, to distract myself from all of the...
I was going to ask you that.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely to distract myself, I'm sure. I'm going to fall into those patterns today. I know when I'm feeling immense amounts of anxiety or bouts of depression, I fill my schedule and it always makes me feel better because I can at least have those things to focus on rather than my grief.
Yeah, it gives you things that you can control at the moment.
Yes.
That's in front of you. It's tangible. You can control it. And grief's one of those abstract sort of things that's kind of out there and happening, and we can't control. We can't control that the people in our life die.
Exactly. And it's something that me and my friend talk about on our podcast too, is how grief is so nuanced and layered, and you know, they talk about the stages, but they're not stages at all. They're like areas you go back into, you know, one year, maybe it's one thing, and the next year you're realizing, oh, you know, everything that led up to this was because of that grief. I've been through quite a bit of therapy now. And every time I'm like, oh gosh, it always goes back to that, huh? That problem I'm having is because, you know, of my abandonment issues or whatever it may be. So yeah, grief is just, it's strange. And honestly, going through all of that at such a young age, I think it helped me a lot in my life. It gave me a different perspective than most people my age. And I'm really grateful for that perspective. I'm really grateful for like taking time to be grateful when, I don't know, I think just sometimes when I'm having a bad day, I very easily can go into, it can be worse. You've had worse days. You've had much worse days. So you're going to get through this too. And I am grateful for that outlook on life for sure.
Yeah. There's a lot of research has been done on post-traumatic growth. And it's that that idea that not that we would want bad things to happen in our life so that we
right. Those,
but they did happen and we can't change that they happened. And the reality is they do change us in a lot of ways. You know, a lot of us in the field, we stopped talking about stages a long time ago. And what we talk about is grief being such an individual process, walking with people in their grief and walking beside them and providing support and care. And what that looks like isn't a nice, neat, staged out process. It's just as we're absorbing what life brings to us, and somehow we're becoming who we become as a result of the things we've lived. I mean, it's really more
our experiences.
Absolutely. I think about that all the time. What would my life have been like if they had survived?
Yeah.
What would be different? What are things that I have now that I love about myself and that I love about my life that possibly wouldn't be there? And, you know, I can't change it, but I just go, no, I think, you know, I believe that we are given what we can handle a lot of the time. And I think that I was strong enough to have this in my life and have it help me in my life, not hinder.
Let's Talk Death is being brought to you by Heal Grief, a 501c3. As a nonprofit, we are reliant on the kind generosity of our donors. If you are inspired by our mission, we ask you to go to healgrief.org/donations to help us continue our great work. No gift is too small.
You said something very interesting about how when you have your therapy, you go and back into, oh, well, it's because of that, or it stems from this or stems from that. I mean, there's so many individuals that have a traumatic event, such as a death loss, and they do what society thinks they're supposed to do. You know, bottle it up, go, you have the funeral, bottle it up, move on, get over it.
Right.
And then 10 years later or 15 years later, a trigger will come up in a young adult life, a graduation, a relationship, a marriage, a birth, or whatever it might be. And boom, it's like, wow, I'm stuck.
Right.
And it's usually you can trace that back all the way to that grief experience as its trigger.
A lot of
people don't make that association.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely something that I think I psychoanalyzed myself a lot as a kid, because I was like, on paper, you're not okay. I feel fine, but on paper, I know that you're not okay. So let's just take, you know, an objective look at this life right now. But I think that's totally true what you're saying. You know, I wonder, I don't have any children yet, but I'm wondering, oh gosh, I wonder what's going to come up if I ever have kids, you know, what's that going to be like? Because I already know I have like in relationships, like I have a lovely boyfriend right now and we have our 3-year anniversary tomorrow. And there've been many times where he's had to just tell me, I'm not going to die. I'm okay. I'm not going to leave. I'm here. And it's because I just felt like the rug was pulled out from under me when I was little. So I'm just wondering too, I recently was watching a TED talk about parental PTSD. And I was thinking, gosh, everybody who's lost a parent when they're a child, I'm just wondering what it will be like, because I know stuff will come up.
Yeah.
If that comes to pass, if I do have a kid, I'm like, I know that I'm going to have a bad year.
Yeah.
I know it's going to be not that great for a minute. Definitely going to be worried about stuff.
Right. There's it's the book After Grief that we're doing right now in our book club. And it's written by Hope Edelman. And it's about exactly what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. It's
the losses that we have young in our life and how those continue to be part of our life as we get older. It's different. It takes different shapes and different forms and at different times. And Hope, who wrote that book, she also wrote a book, Motherless Daughters, many years ago, because her mother died when she was 17. So for her, it really, she's kind of come the full spectrum, and she's now, you know, has kids, you know, teenagers, I think. And, you know, so and how all of that, you know, has been part of her story. So it really is. It's, you think about the story of our life, it's not simple enough to put it in five stages, right? It's not
enough
to talk about it as a formula, because it's not. Our lives aren't formulas. They're lived daily.
Yeah, and they can be really chaotic and messy and other times be really polished and clean and then go back to chaotic and messy again. So it's definitely it's not a straightforward linear line at all, which I don't know. I think that's kind of nice in a way.
Oh, I agree. I think so too. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a nice way to just know, oh, okay, this is like grief is something that I am experiencing and that will change and ebb and flow. And as new life experiences come up, it will present itself in different ways to kind of be like, okay, I'm just going to learn more about myself every time. Every time something new comes up, I'm going to learn more about myself. And that's a good thing.
How do you think your grief has shaped your career as an actress?
Oh my goodness. You know, I went into my first, what was it called? Like Shakespeare workshop when I was 13. So a year after, and fell in love with the theater because it's family. When you're in the theater, it's like family. People hug you. People care about where you are, whether it's for curtain call or because they actually care about you. I don't know, but they cared about where I was.
Yeah.
And it was such a nice community to be part of that year after or that summer after. And I remember just thinking, oh, this is like, I love this, whatever this is. And as I continued to do more theater in high school and in the community, I was like, no, this is, I want to tell stories. I want to live other lives. I want to understand other people's grief, right, through storytelling. And I don't know if I would have been an actor had I not been through what I went through, only because I have more of an awareness of others' complexities. So when I'm going through a role, I'm like, oh, wow, that's interesting to think about, you know, this little tidbit of, you know, past knowledge for this character that maybe would inform this moment right now. And as I've gotten more and more, you know, have a career acting, being an actor, that only just becomes stronger and stronger. And it's so much fun to jump into other people's shoes and get to live so many different lives. That's what I love about it. And I don't know if I would have been so inclined to jump headfirst into it if I hadn't been through that grief and if it wasn't like a place of refuge in the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about your podcast, Abandonment Issues.
Yeah.
Yes. Abandonment Issues is with me and my podcast partner, Sarah Beth Bassick. We work together and just kind of, I don't know, I think orphans find each other. Like, kind of randomly, you just start talking to someone and you start saying, I got that same issue. Maybe I'm just going to drop a little bomb in there and see what you do with it. And we both learned that we had both lost both of our parents. And she proposed to me that we start a podcast about it. and just talking to people and talking about grief, because it is like a limitless pool of topics to talk about. And so we started the podcast, started working on the podcast a long time ago, and had stopped when COVID started because we were like, oh, you know, I don't know how we're going to do this, and realized, my God, what a like, this is actually when it's needed most. What are we doing? Like, we need to put out this podcast now. There are so many people who are grieving right now. Every lost life has countless lives around it who are grieving that loss. So we were like, no, this is the perfect time to do it. So we started reaching out to friends of ours who were fellow orphans or who had lost a parent, and friends of ours who are therapists and friends of friends. And now we're just getting as anybody who wants to talk about grief, about their experience, about what they've learned. We want to talk to them both for the benefit of our audience, but also for the benefit of ourselves, if I'm being totally honest.
Yeah.
Every time we have a guest, I learn something new. or it's really insightful, right? Like, right, they'll say something and I realize, oh gosh, I'm not crazy. Oh, great. I'm so glad someone else has been through this. So it's been a wonderful way to kind of create this little like grief community in a time where we're all so far apart from one another. Mm-hmm. Yeah, abandonment issues. We're on like every podcast platform. We just decided to put it everywhere. It's just been a total joy to be able to do it. And it's interesting too, because a lot of our guests before they come on the show have a tissue box next to them. I think it's going to be really heavy. And pretty much every single time we're laughing. We're laughing through it. Yeah. Just talking about how much of it is like, you either laugh or you cry, right? And most people will choose to laugh some of the time. So that has been like that's been the really fun thing about all of it, is just comparing, well, what was your funeral like? How crazy did it get? What did your auntie do? And just see what stories are similar and kind of have fun with that familiarity.
There's something about having our grief affirmed by other people in some way. You know, I equate it to, there's times like that in my life when I'll say, you know, that person spoke truth to my experience.
Right.
And someone does that, it, you know, we talk about stages and things of grief. More important than any of that really is finding affirmation.
Right.
That, wait a minute, what I'm going through is what a person goes through when both their parents die when they're a child, or when they experience the death of a child or the death of a sibling. Or it helps to put things in context for us, as opposed to what society was kind of teaching. If we listen too much to the society in general, we might think that we are losing our mind, or that there's something wrong with us, or we're not doing it right. Right. As opposed to, wait a minute. There's not a matter of doing it right or wrong. It's just, it's living it, you know, and whatever that looks like, whatever shape or form it looks like.
Yeah, absolutely. Recently we had a guest, a friend of mine from college on, and she lost her mom. And I kind of went into this story about how when I was like early in high school, I had like these rituals, like almost OCD stuff, where I was like checking the pillows, and I did it the same way every single night because there were spiders in my room and I was scared. But really it was like this control thing. It's like, well, I can control this. And she started laughing. She's like, oh my God, I thought I was crazy. Like, I did the same thing. And that's come up so many times where we're like, oh, it wasn't just me. And that alone is like, oh, breath of fresh air. I don't need to go anywhere. Like, I'm actually okay. It's not that, like you said, it's not that there's any one way to grieve at all. It comes in so many different forms and shapes and colors and monsters. And it's always never really talked about because it's not, you can't pinpoint it.
Right. You know, and interestingly enough, because it's hard to talk about, I think we write it into stories. We express it through art. That's really what people do with it. If you look at some of the greatest music, is music that's comes from the depths of someone's soul, even just pain of experiencing life, and then of course a lot of stories written and even movies, you know, produced as movies. Death is a theme throughout them. Usually the main characters are bereaved, in many of them, from Disney to you name it.
All Disney, the Disney is princesses. The master of that.
Yeah, exactly. Really good at it. Yeah.
I watch a Disney movie and then all of a sudden I'm sobbing and I'm like, I thought this was okay. It's a cartoon. Why am I crying so much?
Right. Yeah. So that's the way it works. So we only have a few minutes left. But before we end our time, a lot of times our guests who are listening in want to know how can they connect with you and your work, and you know, how do they make those connections? They want to follow you. They want to, you know, what are you up to or whatever. How do they make those connections?
Absolutely. So for me, you can follow me on Instagram. My Instagram handle is @Clarissa. So it's just my first name. And then my Twitter is @ClarissaT. So @Clarissa with the first letter of my last name. But I haven't been on Twitter a lot lately because it's just the comment section and it makes me angry. So I'm just keeping my distance for a little bit. Or you can find me on Instagram @AbandonmentIssuesPod. So our podcast also has an Instagram. And yeah, I mean, I'm on there periodically. Shoot me a message. I see all of them. So if you have a question, just let me know. I'm literally always available.
Great. And we'll have those links up. Clarissa, we want to thank you so much for being a guest here at Let's Talk Death and sharing your story. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. This is great.
If you would like to learn more about Heal Grief, visit us at healgrief.org. To find other conversations or to inquire about becoming a guest speaker, visit us at healgrief.org/letstalkdeath. And if you feel inspired to support us, remember, no gift is too small. Visit us at healgrief.org/donations, or you can donate right through our homepage. Well, that's it until next time on Let's Talk Death, where we normalize, educate, and demystify the taboo around death, dying, and the journey of grief.